We. All right. We went the other way around. Well, time is not on our side, so we went the other way around. We got you good today. I think the singing is doing a tremendous job walking on it, amen. I would like to encourage you as we begin, we'll begin that journey very soon, I believe in August, as we start talking about multi-generation congregation, to look for a place you can serve. And if you can sing and you're in the teen and in the campus ministry and you're in the singles ministry, come along and sing with them, amen? That'd be awesome. Just want to remind you that we are still sitting at 28,000 here. And we need to get crunk, and our goal is 110. Amen. So please, we gotta be praying, making some plans, make it happen, because the days are short, and God will work that out. Amen. So let's work on this so that we can really get it where it needs to be, and we can tithe, bring those checks in, and do what you need to do. Amen. Well, today, I'd like to talk about beyond fear. We've been talking about fear this month a lot and just how that can get in the way. So this morning, I hoped that we could talk beyond that, because there is a way that you may have lost your voice as a Christian, that you no longer have that voice and conviction that you used to have, or probably you've just lost your vision, that you don't have a vision of what God can do. And that tends to happen because something happened in your life. You became lukewarm somewhere, or you just gave up your faith, your drive. That can happen to all of us. So we have to understand that, yes, that happens, but we can go beyond that. It doesn't need to define where we sit today. And that is the question. Have you let what happened to you become the defining factor of your life? So we have to overcome that. We have to go beyond fear so that we can have a future that glorifies God. God will reach out. Let's start here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. Now, this was cunning. He could do anything. He could just sell you your own stuff. That's how cunning he was. And that he could take your stuff and sell it back to you. This is what he did. And sometimes we underestimate the words used in the Bible, that he was cunning, crafty, like than any other animal. The Bible talks about that Satan is the father of lies. When he speaks lies, he speaks his native language. That his first language is lying. I'll be had. It's like me trying to talk to Moise his language in Congo. There's no way I can survive. He knows it better than I do. So he understands that. And that's what he was. And so he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from that any tree in the garden? So he began by planting just doubt, slight doubt. Let me just start by saying, did he really say? Because if he goes there right away, you're going to see that clearly, right? But he starts by, let's have a conversation here. That just a conversation. It's an innocent conversation. What's wrong with having a conversation? You've had people tell you that? I don't mean any harm. We're just talking. Well, what is your intention of talking? That is the question. What is your intention of talking? And so he goes on and he says, God did not really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the tree in the garden. From that point on, he was winning. Let me explain this. Sometimes you get into these conversations that we have with the devil, or we have with ourselves, and we don't realize we began going the wrong direction. We're not going to God. We're just having a conversation. What if the philosophy of that? What if? But we're not saying, what is God saying right now? What needs to happen? And so with that conversation, she began to go the wrong way. The woman said to the serpent, We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing, we know what happened, right? The story is such that she's quoting, but not exactly what God said. And then she has this conversation, and then the Bible doesn't even tell us what happened, and how we know that she ate it, right? And I think the devil does to us that a lot. We have a conversation. He doesn't tell you the consequences of that. You think he's just promising, showing you half the truth. Here's what you can get. Here's what you can get. But never telling you that once you cross this line, here's how your faith will go down. Here's how you lose faith in your life. Here's how you lose faith in your marriage. Here's how you lose faith even in just telling anyone about God. Here's how you lose faith in just God. He never lets you know that side. And I think that this morning, what we have to ask ourselves today is, do we take time to ask ourselves, are we hearing God more, or are we letting Satan determine what we're going to talk about and eventually transform that into fear? Because he said, God knows if you take that, you're going to be like him. So she was feeling cheated out. But that wasn't the truth. That was half the truth. Before that, they were having a good time. Before that, life was good. Everything was in good place until he came through. And so, this morning, the reason we have to live beyond fear is to begin to talk through the promises of God, through the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about your situation this morning? What does the Bible say about where you sit this morning? Have you checked it out, and do you know what it says? In everything, God works out for the good of those who love him. Romans 8:28. Now, some of these things are challenging, but God is working out for your good. So when that happens, you can come out from that and say, okay, we have a future now. No more being afraid. We got to trust God. He can take care of this. She got stuck to that point. Up to this point, that's what was going on. Hold up. Genesis 3:10. I'll skip verse 9. He answered, I had you in the garden. Oh, sorry. I think I got ahead a bit. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made covering for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So the conversation began very innocently. Did God say you should not do this? Oh, no, I don't think so. You should not eat. Quoted one or two things. Eventually, she ate the fruit. And now, all of a sudden, the devil never said, if you touch that fruit, you'll hear God and you'll run away from God. So what happened? All the other consequences came later. That wasn't told. What she was told, it'll be nice. You'll be like God. You can see what is good. And that is what the devil does. When we get in that position of just discussing in our heads and never checking what the Bible is saying, we get to this place where we think, it's true. It's not true. Check what the Bible says first. And then, what does he say? They had God and they ran. They hid. Something happens when you don't stay in God's ways of doing things. What happens in our lives is, I'll put it this way. If you're under God and you're obeying God, you're under an umbrella, a place of safety, a place where God takes care of you. The moment you step out of God's word, it begins raining on you. And you wonder what happened. It's because you stepped away from God. So she stepped away. Now that that has happened, God shows up and she's afraid. One of the things that happens to all of us is when we're not connecting to God properly is that we're grasped with fear of God, but not a healthy fear. We run away from God. We run away from being known with God. We run away from connecting with God. We don't want to be known. Why? Because God will help us come to light, but we are afraid. It's all fear. It has nothing else. It's all fear, the opposite of faith. Faith has gone. Fear has come. When fear comes, you don't hear God. You cannot connect to that truth. You keep running away from God. Why is that? Because you're talking too much to the devil. You're talking too much to the devil. You're allowing too much time to the devil to convince you, to tell you what is and what is not, and not to God, who will tell you what is and what is supposed to be like. That's the challenge. This was never told to her. She never saw this coming. So God is reaching out. He's reaching out. The man said to his wife, I heard the sound of the Lord, God, and I was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It was a cool day. I think you want a cool day. Like today was hot when I was walking out. Hopefully when you leave this place, it'll be cool. And God was walking around. Instead of them running to him, they run away. Is that your position this morning? Are you running to God? Or are you running to the bushes? See, fear does that. It takes away the confidence, the courage, the faith to stand in life and know that God is on his throne and know that God will take care of us. That goes away quickly. We live in panic, in fear, in all kinds of things. We have to go beyond fear. And we can only go beyond fear because we know what God says. As teens, I hope you understand how this works out. There are a lot of friends that talk to you and say, let's just have, it's just a conversation where they don't tell you the whole truth. There's a line you cross as a teen and your life begins to take a different direction. The things you do now, and a lot of people say, don't. But if you cross, it gives you a different direction in life. It is true even in marriage. There are things you cross now and you don't know what's coming. And once you cross, there's a lot of trouble. There is value in staying with where God is putting you at. There is value in knowing God before you make that move. If you're visiting, there is value in finding out what God's will is in your heart, in your life, so that you can move forward. If you just move, you've been convinced by the devil the wrong direction without figuring out what he's saying. So he answered, I hid in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. The devil never said that, did he? And he said, who told you that you were naked? Because God never thought that would be in the head. Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Really? Really? But we do that. We begin the blame game when we are not changing. We all do. When you're not changing, you start blaming your neighbor. You start blaming the government. You start blaming the people around you. We got to get over that and stop the blame game and say, what is God saying to you? What is the reason you have to be stuck where you are today? What reasons do you have? You may not know what the Bible says, but the answers are in there. They're there. This morning, my goal is to stimulate you, to want you to get into the Bible, to check out the Word of God. This morning, my desire is to get you to say, whatever it is, I can figure it out with the Word of God. With the right relationships, you can. Amen. He began the blame game. When you sit around and blame a lot, you realize that the change you want, it is you that will bring it about. But you will do it by repenting and doing the things you hope to see around the church of God. Amen. As we build family and we try to build this family of God, what are we building? Family. So what do you want to see in your family group? Work on that. Work on that and see what happens. So what happened there was shame. That was what happened. They had shame and they hid. So here I have a quote that says, shame needs three things to grow exponentially in our lives. Secrecy. There was secrecy happening. When she was having a meeting with the devil, nobody knew the meeting was going on. That was some secrecy was going on there. You follow that? Another thing that happened there was that there was silence. She was just talking. Sometimes you're talking to the devil and you're not saying, and nobody knows what's going on. You're not open. And eventually, judgment, which happened with the husband, as well as with the devil. Does that make sense? when these things happen, shame grows. Shame is just another form of fear. And I talk about it today because I think that sometimes there's too much shame in our system that we're not rising up to the point of saying, God can use us again. We let that shame determine our direction and where we need to go. So we need to decide today that we will go beyond those fears and let God lead us in the future. Amen? Amen. Finally, but not least, God is filled with compassion. I mean, we just had in communion about how he went out to the Ninevites and tried to win them for God. We know how God reached out to the Israelites again and again. The cycle of, you know, they find God, they lose God, they find God, they lose God. If anything, you know, we can read the Bible and see so much compassion with Simon Peter. We can see how even Judas was given so much compassion. Jesus sat with him. You follow that? He didn't say, you're going to betray me out of here. Just compassion, compassion, compassion. Now that is not to be abused. It's to be understood in the context of, if this is God's grace, what is my role? What can I do different? That's how to understand this. So here, Luke 15 verse 18 to 20, a story we know well. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. He got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arm around him, and kissed him. The story is two sons. One, they asked for the father to give them basically their inheritance. Totally taboo in that tradition. He takes the money, goes away, spends it all. He's done, finished. Then he figures, I can't even eat. I'm getting into the pig food. And he turns around and goes right back to his dad. And I think this is a great place to be. It's a great place to be because he gets to the point where he says, I have sinned against heaven and against you. You had people, but the biggest person you walked away from is God. If you figure that with God, the lateral relationships are easier to deal with. If you never come to a point of understanding that you're really walking away from God, you'll keep blaming people and fighting people for no reason. Once you figure it out that this was, you are not right with God, then the lateral issues are much easier. He says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. It's a humble place to be. And he says, so he got up and went to his father. See, we all need to come to this place where we see what it is. We don't feel sorry for ourselves. We wake up and go back to our father. Amen. We don't say, who is me? He said, wow, this happened? How did I get here? Well, I asked for my inheritance. I took it. I went and squandered all of it. And I didn't think I would ever get to this place, but I'm in a bad place and I can only go back to God. When you get to that place, shame has no control over you. God has. When you get to that place, fear has no control over you. God has. But that place is a place of acknowledgement. It's a place of saying, you know what? Some things need to be different. No, it's not a place of denial. It's not a place of giving in to excuses. It's, God, help me make this change. Now, some things take long to change. But you have come to that place anyway. Some things, the decision is made there and then, but the process begins to happen as you go forward. Does that make sense? So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. See, God is waiting for you to turn back. That's all. If you turn back now, he will show you compassion. We sometimes think that God is this angry God willing to kill people and just ready to put fire on them. No, God is waiting with compassion. The moment he turned back, he went and kissed and said, you know what, welcome home. You know what happened, there was a party there, things were going great. And there was one son who wasn't having a good time, but that's a sermon of another day. So, are you going to turn around? That's the question. Will you turn around and overcome your fears? will you turn around and overcome your shame. And that happens when you accept that this is what needs to happen. I see what the Bible teaches. I need to find a friend to talk to, someone that can help me out, and then I can start this journey, and together we can overcome. Amen? Amen. When that doesn't happen, you're forever enslaved with fear and shame. Shame says that because I am flawed, I am unacceptable. Grace says that though I am flawed, I am cherished. That's what happened to that son. He figured, I made a mistake. Okay, that was a mistake. I need to turn around. But if you're stuck on the fear of shame and other things, then you say, shame says that because I'm flawed, I'm unacceptable. So you don't know the difference between you and what you did. You have to make that difference. You're a son of God, but or a daughter of God, but there's some things that need to turn around in your life. Once you can make that difference, the change happens. Amen? In finishing, the difference between shame and guilt, and I want to talk about that, because sometimes we say, okay, I see it, but I feel so ashamed, I feel so guilty, and I don't feel like I can do this. The difference really is here. The difference between shame and guilt is the difference between I am bad and I did something bad. Yeah. This morning, I'm not here to guilt you or to shame you. I hope you didn't get that message. I was here to say that, you know what? It's the things that we do that separate us from God. It is what Adam and Eve did that separated them from God. They were not bad people in themselves. It's what they did that separated them from God. Does that make sense? So this morning, it's not about guilting and shaming you. It's about, hey, there's something we can change and connect with God. You are a child of God. But there are things that need to be brought together so that we can go beyond fear and beyond guilt and shame. If we don't understand that, then church becomes a place of, I don't want to go because I'm going to feel shame and guilt. I hope today we cross that line. That you got hope. You got faith. You got inspiration that, you know what? I can change that. I'm not a terrible person, but I'm doing things that are not right in the eyes of God. And that needs to change. And that acceptance does not mean you're no good. That acceptance actually begins the healing. God bless you.
Well, there we go. We heard an incredible message this morning. We were able to participate in the worshiping of our Lord. We should not be ashamed of our past. God's compassion should motivate us towards Him. That is what we should be leaving here with if we're not with Him yet. That we should be motivated by His compassion, not held back because of what we did or what we think of ourselves. That is the one thing I believe God wants us to leave here with this morning. We have one special announcement today. We have one who's decided to accept God's compassion. William Ruiz Diaz will be getting baptized. Yes, yes, it is exciting. He'll be getting baptized today at 4 p.m. at the Rouse's home. The address is 2675 Wyndham Place Drive, Lawrenceville, Georgia, 30044, again at 4 p.m. We're going to go ahead and close out with one prayer, and then we'll have one final song. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that you allowed us to have to give our hearts to you. Thank you so much that your compassion goes beyond this room, that it fills this whole earth. And I pray, God, that you would strengthen us to overcome our past, our history. Allow us not to be stuck there. Help us to go forward into your arms, God. We thank you again for the singing. We thank you for all the seeds that you've been planting all these years for that some to come to you, God. We thank you again. We pray all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.